Hare Krishna, this morning, before Chaitanya tried to meet the class, we got a little diverged, diverged from the actual theme of the text, which is very wonderful. Kaviraj Goswami explaining the Ete Changsa Kalapungsa verse, but comment on how cold it was. I'd seen that it was minus 11 and it's going to be a cold day for Sankirtan devotees. So it would be an austere day. Nonetheless, that's our tapasya, our austerity. Everyone has their austerity and devotional service, and austerity is an austerity if it isn't austere. And so sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's warm, sometimes our backs are hurting. And of course, it's not just on book distribution that there's austerity, although I think on average it's the most austere service in the balance of things. Srila Prabhupada considered it to be not only the primary service, but most difficult and demanding. Anyhow, by doing that service and by accepting that spiritual life means austerity, comfort, and Krishna consciousness aren't going to hand in hand. There's always going to be physical, mental, intellectual, spiritual challenges. The challenges themselves, the circumstances in which we face them, the people in which we deal with them, the consequences are going to be difficult. And there's no getting away from that. The faultless Pandavas were sent out into exile. They slept on the ground, lived in forests, although they used a palatial lifestyle. And at the end of it all, they just stood there on the battlefield all alone with all their relatives, friends, well-wishers all lying dead around them. Still, it was part of their austerity, and they never really stopped. They never stopped doing the right thing. They never stopped doing what they should be doing. And that's one of the characteristics of the austerities that we accept, whether it's on book distribution, deity worship, bookkeeping, being a donor, and working, maintaining our business, and of course other things like the austerities of chanting 16 rounds for those whom chanting 16 rounds is still an austerity. Not a good thing to call chanting Hare Krishna an austerity, but it may be in certain beginning stages. And following regulated principles, that there may also be an austerity. And there's so many other austerities that we take up, but the essence is to actually stick with it. Because many people take them up, or at least we have, at least the statistics is that we tend to do things, but to stick with something, that's something else, to keep going. So just like when I mentioned to the Sankirtan devotees, many devotees who take up book distribution, in fact, it's something that everyone should do as part of their training in Krishna consciousness. But not everyone stays with it all their life. Why? It's austere. It's difficult. Many devotees are trained in deity worship, other types of temple services, cleaning the temple, cooking, engaging in full-time activities. They don't necessarily stick it out. We don't have lifelong pujaris, lifelong cooks, lifelong so many other things. It's austere. Of course, the alternative of not doing these things and following one's own ideas is also austere. But it's a different type of austerity. One is the austerity prescribed for us by Krishna, and the other one may or may not be. But you can't get away from austerity. However, we know that the austerities that Srila Prabhupada had recommended for us, that these are divine in nature. In other words, they help purify the heart. They help one become very determined, although one has to be determined by austerity. One can become even more determined. Ultimately, they help attract Krishna's attention. Hiranyakashipu was very determined. He was a demon. Dridhabrata, he really had Dridhabrata. He didn't have the right type of Dridhabrata, but he really had Dridhabrata. And yet, he didn't purify his heart, certainly not, and it didn't bring him closer to the Lord. Well, it brought him closer to the Lord, but not in an anukul way, not in a way that's favorable to spiritual life, being killed by the Lord. But still we see that people in the material world, they also undertake great austerities to achieve some particular goal. And sticking with those austerities, that is what's really something that is required if we're going to keep the missionary spirit alive, our missionary spirit of spreading Krishna consciousness in our own lives and the lives of others and so on. And this idea of starting something and then dropping it, well, I asked the devotees, what is that called? Who is that who starts something, gets into something, and then drops it? And no one had quite got the answer, although I told him I wanted something really simple. And the answer is called children. Children stop things and then drop it for something else. They don't really have the determination to stick with something over long term, unless they happen to be very special. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took this vow. Children also sometimes take vows, but they rarely keep them. Even when he was very, very young, that he ate this mango that wasn't even offered to the Lord, and so he took a vow to never eat mangoes in his life, and he never did. He could have very easily later said, well, that was just sort of a childhood whim. I didn't. No, he was true to his word. He said something. Now I've said something, either seriously or not. Still, I'm going to stick to that. So, how is it that one maintains this real enthusiasm to keep the mission going, that whether I'm a brahmachari, of course, it's not that just in services, but devotees say they're going to be lifelong brahmacharis. Very few lifelong brahmacharis, that they're lifelong sannyasis, and not necessarily be lifelong sannyasis. That they enter the grihastha ashram, and no guarantee that they don't get divorced. So even being committed not only just to one's service or varna, but to one's ashram association. That punya karma, good association, sadhusangas. By that inspiring association, then whether in brahmachari life, in grihastha life, in vanaprastha life, one keeps the mission alive. The missionary spirit never stops. Unfortunately, I see that a lot, especially in grihastha life, that somehow or another devotees in grihastha life, the tendency is there, yes, now let me become comfortable. But remember that Srila Prabhupada, he started the Krishna consciousness movement in the grihastha and vanaprastha ashram, and then continued it and as a sannyasi and came to us as a sannyasi. But he was continuing his revolutionary spirit that all of his godbrothers failed to really catch up to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even as a grihastha. Prabhupada never wavered. because he was very determined. He was determined to please his spiritual master, to continue with that mission. And even although he wasn't very successful in those years, but ultimately success came because Krishna was pleased with his determination to continue on, not to give in through all difficulty, accepting that the superior order, the higher order of the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of the Guru Parampara, that is the direction in which one lives one's life. It may be tapasya, it may be austerity, but it gives a great result. Otherwise, living, working in the material world, it's also tapasya. But ultimately, it's a very sorrowful result that one gets. Hare Krishna.